Testament lesson is from the letter of James, reading beginning on chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good life, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false in the truth. This wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without uncertainty or insincerity. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes wars, and what causes fightings among you? Is it not your passions that are at war in your members? You desire and do not have, so you kill. And you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and wage war. You do not have, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. May the Lord bless to our understanding these readings from his holy word.
In a paraphrase of that same passage from Epistles Now, he writes, "It is when our lives are centered upon God, bathed in his love, dedicated to his purposes, that the words we speak and the actions we take reach to bless rather than destroy, produce healing and strength, light and joy to those who walk in darkness. Who is wise and understanding among you?" Well, if you're into the best-selling list on the nonfiction e-books, 1, 2, 3, 4, first four books written by Dr. Wayne W. Dyer. Obviously, somebody's wise. It was a centuries-old question, James asked, and the question is still pertinent. How is it that we have first-class educational institutions in Michigan, and yet Detroit holds the title of the most impoverished large city in our nation? 4 of 10 people living in poverty, $24,250 for a family of four. Nationally, the poverty rate is 15.5. Detroit is 39.3. So while we tout our technological progress, whether the latest tablets or phones or robots, people are hurting. People are hurting, Lord. There's war. We know it, but there's war. Europe is engulfed in an historic migration of immigrants. The loss of the Christian faith to most nations in the Middle East is a foregone conclusion. Clergy and lay people slaughtered, churches destroyed, all in the name of a God, a terrorist. The psalmist described our situation. We seek wisdom, we look to nature, but there we only find inaudible words praising God. There's no speech, no voice. Yet those words go to the end of the world. We turn to the word of the Lord. Decrees are sure, making the wise simple. Precepts are right. The commandments are clear. In short, the law of God is God's gift to humankind. It endures forever. Finally, the psalmist wants us to be holy, to be pure, praying for acceptance and salvation. He says, "Thus I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgressions." Who is wise and understanding among us? James concludes that if we harbor bitter envy, selfish ambition in our hearts, or AKA, it's all about me, such wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, causes disorder, evil practices. All you have to do is glance at the Hollywood headlines. From million-dollar weddings, we have the celeb splits. Let's see, Ben and Jen, Blake and Miranda, Gavin and Gwen, Chad and Avril, Brian and there's even rumors about a Patriot and a supermodel. We haven't even reached the aftermath of Ashley Madison and the liberal sexual ethics. Pundits DeBoer, Savage, and Greenwald conclude adultery is a victimless and harmless act and therefore moral. The people consent and voila, respect. Respect it. And those who oppose that view are guilty of religious prudery. It's a private matter. It's all about me. They assert that by insisting and imposing a puritanical lifestyle on others, they're stigmatizing those lifestyles and dehumanizing harmless relationships. We must end such taboos. And so we continue as we move to welcome transgendered and plural marriages. Gallup's poll in 2013 didn't read that way. 91% of Americans believed such activities were morally wrong, even with Ashley Madison. The times are changing. So James went on to examine this problem of the unspiritual. What is it that causes these fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires and that battle within you? You want something. You can't get it. You kill. You covet. You can't have what you want. Quarrel. You fight. It's that old adage, simply stated, sin. We missed the mark. With the Pope's visit engulfing the media, what is it about this Pope that has engendered so much interest? I believe it is his Mother Teresa influence. That Saint to the Poor, a moving to sainthood. It was Malcolm Muggeridge who brought the world's attention to that little lady from Calcutta. He interviewed her for BBC, and he was so intrigued by her that he created a movie, Something Beautiful for God. He came to know and be challenged by her concerning her faith and his faith. He claimed a miracle in the filming. There was one scene that was so dark that you couldn't see anything except there seemed to be this holy aura or glow around her. Mother Teresa, Sisters of Charity. Now, the cameraman said, well, it's the Kodak film. But Muggeridge was convinced he met this unique human being, utterly devoted to the Lord and to humankind. As he struggled with his own faith, watching faith in action before him, he pondered, what's with all this suffering? Where's God? And in the end, he would confess, God is everywhere. I turned my glance to the windows, and then into my own heart. And I see there the litter and the dust of wasted years, old envies not quite spent, old appetites still remaining, old hopes and desires floundering. The interior of my heart seems to be a dead landscape. Yet, faith tells me I can have a spring of rebirth. Promised to all of us in this new dispensation Jesus Christ brought into the world. Old envies budding with holy love. Old hopes and desires finding new destination in that bright radiance, love of God. All the experience of living has to teach us. It has to teach us to say, thy will be done, standing before a cross. Well, Mother Teresa kept up her correspondence with Muggeridge. As you wrote to him, your longing for God is so deep, he keeps it away from you, forcing himself to do so because he loves you so much. Surrounded with the fullness of living food, you are allowing yourself to starve. Overcome the finite with the infinite. That love of Christ within you. I had the privilege of meeting Mother Teresa at a meeting of the General Assembly in St. Louis. On staff to the Synod and General Assembly, I joined the welcoming team as the crowd waited outside that hall. You see, they had to rent a hall across from the Assembly because the Assembly wouldn't let her speak at the Assembly because her views on abortion didn't match the views of the Assembly. Well, the sponsors had to smile, because the Assembly had to come to a halt because all of the commissioners and members moved across the street to go to this other meeting. There wasn't enough left to have an assembly meeting. She always presented the same message. I was hungry, not for food, for that peace that comes from a pure heart. I was thirsty, not only for water, for that peace that satiates the passionate thirst of passion for war. I was naked, oh, not for clothes, but for the beautiful dignity of men and women and their bodies. I was homeless, oh, not a shelter made of bricks, but a heart that understands, that loves. Meet God with a smile. Wherever you go, do something beautiful for God. One favorite hymn put it this way: entire and perfect, the service of my love, the love that asks no questions, the love that stands the test, that lays upon the altar the dearest and the best, the love that never falters, the love that pays the price, the love that makes undaunted that final sacrifice. There's another country I've heard of long ago, most dear to those that know. We may not count her armies, we may not see her king. Her fortress is faithful hearts, her pride is suffering. Soul by soul and silently, her shining bounds increase. Her ways are ways of gentleness and peace. Well, that little tiny woman received the Lotus Order from Nehru. The Sisters of Mercy received the Pontifical Congregation from the Pope. The Kennedy recognition came in 1970, the Templeton Prize in 73, the Schweitzer Award in 75, and the Nobel Peace Prize in 79. When she received Presbyterian Elder Templeton's prize, she said, "It is an award given to people, all those who share with me the work of love in spreading God's love amongst men." You see, actually, we are touching his body. It is the hungry Christ we're feeding. It's the naked Christ we're clothing. It's the homeless Christ we're giving shelter. Christ today is hungry in our poor and in the rich for love. That's the message of Pope Francis. Writing to a people in the midst of a hostile environment, at a time when Christianity was a forbidden religion, James offers this uncanny ability to express the faith. Faith at work is the key to James' teaching. He says there will be tests of faith. The knowledge of God comes by prayer. Prayer has no meaning without faith. Christians are sustained by faith without distinction, poor, low, rich, high. To those being persecuted, James admonished, "Be perfect." Oh, you're going to suffer. But you who would be teachers, be careful. James established two conditions for true piety: proper speech and concern for the poor. This prayer that Mother Teresa taught her Sisters of Charity went in part: "The light, O Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be ours. It will be you shining on others through us. Let us thus praise you in the way you love best, shining on those around us. Let us preach you not by our words, but by our example, by catching the force, that sympathetic influence of what we do, the evident fullness of love from our hearts." My friend Anne Weems, in her poem, The Church, wrote, "We don't pretend to understand the mystery of what goes on in Christ's church, but we see the church as persons, holding hands, supporting each other, accepting each other, loving each other. Each person reaches out into God's world, listening for the whimpering, watching for the hurting, and willing to offer that cup of cold water in his name." There's an old Welsh saying, and put it this way: where I go, the people say, "What's the news? What's the news? What's the order of the day?" Oh, I have good news to tell. My Savior has done all things well. He triumphed over death and hell. That's the news. That's the news. My friends, the glory of the Lord fills this place. The word of the Lord fills your hearts. Jesus Christ, our Lord, invites you. Come. Come, all of you who are heavy laden, I will give you peace. A peace that passes all of this human understanding. Your friends, meet God with a smile. Do something beautiful for God with your life.